Hello, this is part two of TV Guide Magazine for September 16th through 29th. I'm Rachel Renner. We'll get started with The Roush Review by Matt Roush. Country music. Ken Burns movingly depicts the history of an all-American art form. Sunday to Wednesday, September 15th through 18th, and September 22nd through 25th, 8, 7 Central on PBS. Music has always been an essential component in the films of Ken Burns, America's beloved bard of stirring historical documentaries. Once Heard, The Haunting, Ashokan Farewell, from his breakthrough The Civil War, can't be forgotten. Even so, it's always a surprise, sometimes delightful, often poignant, when time and again, during Burns's enthralling 16-hour chronicle of country music, interviews suddenly become impromptu performances. His subjects can't stop themselves from singing or picking up the nearest instrument, whether guitar or banjo or harmonica. And why not? As musician Marty Stewart puts it in one of his many pithy observations on the roots of this melting pot genre, "The songs keep coming at ya. Songs that reveal influences of the blues, gospel, and folk, played everywhere from front porches to honky-tonks." Burns' typically masterful assembly of photography, music, and personal commentary is matched by Dayton Duncan's lyrical script, read by Peter Coyote, celebrating a complicated chorus of American voices joining together to tell a complicated American story. It has changed and grown at every turn, tethered to its past, but always reaching toward its future. The evolution of country music is colorfully told in exhaustive detail, from soulful and gone-too-soon pioneers like Jimmy Rogers and Hank Williams, to outlaw rebels, Willie Nelson, and chart-topping phenoms of the modern era, Garth Brooks. As in the tunes the stars immortalize, there is heartbreak and tragedy, rest in peace, Patsy Cline, but also triumph, such as the emergence of female superstars Loretta Lynn, Dolly Parton, and Reba McEntire, as well as a breaking of the color barrier with the success of Charley Pride. The most dominant figure through most of the series is, no surprise, Johnny Cash, whose daughter Roseanne eloquently relates his turbulent story of addiction and redemption through music and marrying into the influential Carter family. Her own reconciliation with her once wayward father, singing "I Still Miss Someone" with him on stage, a song she would reprise at his memorial, is among many tear-inducing moments. Not a country fan? I can't guarantee Burns will convert you, but if you aren't tapping your feet to one of the many versions of "Will the Circle Be Unbroken," the series' unofficial theme song, you may want to check your pulse. A Very Brady Renovation, Mondays at 9, 8 Central on HGTV. Honey, they're home, and not just any home. Few TV sitcom domiciles are as iconic as the Brady Bunch house, or at least the outside. In an ingenious and cheerfully cheesy mashup of pop nostalgia and HGTV's extreme makeover brand, A Very Brady Renovation reunites the six former child actors who played the Brady kids. They're teamed with top HGTV talent on a mission to replicate the soundstage interiors within the actual Studio City, California house used for exterior shots. As Hidden Potential's Jasmine Roth notes, "We're rebuilding a set, but we have to make a house that works," which means adding a showerhead and toilet to the kids' Jack and Jill bathroom. It's not always a sunshine day. Rain delays one project 11 days, as the crew demolishes much of the original interior and builds a 2,000-square-foot addition, all to make room for familiar spaces, including bedrooms with digitally printed wallpaper and the den of Mike Brady, played by the late Robert Reed. During one reveal, Christopher Knight, who played Peter, observes, "It's a strange kind of place between fiction and reality." To which Susan Olsen, who played Cindy, quips, "It's the Brady Zone. There really is no place like a fake home." Undone, series premiere Friday, September 13th on Prime Video. What time is it? Best Not to Ask Alma, plays by Rosa Salazar, the sardonic and frequently disoriented heroine of Undone, a fascinating adult animated fantasy that's anything but a cartoon. Her temporal reality has been shifting around ever since a car wreck that may have been engineered by her long-dead scientist dad, played by Bob Odenkirk. From producers of BoJack Horseman, this surreal yet strangely hyper-real story is told through rotoscope animation, which traces live-action actors, all terrific, against oil painting backgrounds to hypnotic effect. Is the ghost of Alma's father really teaching her to time travel to prevent his murder, or is she losing it? Whatever is behind her trippy journey, it's one well worth taking. Unbelievable. Series premiere Friday, September 13th on Netflix. The best crime dramas, whether fiction or fact, find an emotional core within the clinical procedural details. Few achieve that balance better than Unbelievable, which is as gripping as a page-turner and also incredibly moving. Adapted by Susanna Grant, played Erin Brockovich. Adapted by Susanna Grant, Erin Brockovich, from Pulitzer Prize-winning journalism, the eight-part series unfolds over two timelines. The more wrenching section depicts the downward spiral of suburban Seattle teen Marie, played by Caitlin Dever. After a 2008 sexual assault, she is ostracized as a rape liar when skeptical authorities doubt her claims. Rising star Dever, of Justified and Booksmart, is heartbreaking as the forlorn Marie, who loses hope that anyone has her back. Unbeknownst to her, two Colorado detectives pick up the trail of a serial rapist 3 years later. Their painstaking and often frustrating police work is riveting, largely because the excellent Merritt Weaver, as quietly emphatic Karen Duvall, and Toni Collette, as gruff, jaded Grace Rasmussen, make such an entertaining, dedicated, odd couple. They're heroes, and so in her way is Marie, trapped in a lie of other people's making, as she awaits justice. Emmy Awards. Who will win? With one epic exception, this year's Emmy Awards, Sunday, September 22nd at 8, 7 Central on Fox, could be the toughest to predict in ages. With so much great work being done on multiple platforms, many categories feel like a toss-up. But that's never stopped us from trying to pick the winners. Some thoughts. Drama series. Though polarizing to fans and critics alike, the final season of Game of Thrones towers over the competition with a record 32 nominations. None of the seven other contenders in this category would seem to have a chance. Better luck next year. Drama actor. For all Thrones' success, only Peter Dinklage has won acting honors in supporting, and that's not likely to change. Kit Harington is nominated here this year. I'm betting Bob Odenkirk's increasingly poignant work in Better Call Saul finally breaks through in his fourth bid. Failing that, Billy Porter's flamboyant star turn in Pose deserves the spotlight. So hard to choose. Drama actress. Which star of the dazzling thriller Killing Eve will be rewarded? Sandra Oh as the frazzled spy, or, my pick, Jodie Comer as the obsessed assassin? If they cancel each other out, look for Ozark's Laura Linney to win. Comedy series. Typically, we'd say Veep is a slam dunk, having won the last three times it was eligible. And while it was in top form in its final season, the political comedy faces last year's delightful champ, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and upstart Barry has nearly twice as many nominations. Another potential spoiler, the buzzy Fleabag, which swept summer's Television Critics Association Awards. Still, Veep will be hard to beat. Comedy actor. The smart money is on a repeat win for Bill Hader as a reluctant hitman in Barry. But I'll defy conventional wisdom and go with Michael Douglas for his wry performance as an acting coach past his prime in The Kominsky Method, which deserves a comedy nomination. Ditto his co-star Alan Arkin in Supporting, although a second win there for Barry's beloved Henry Winkler is a real possibility. Comedy actress. Veep's Julia Louise Dreyfus has never lost for this role of a lifetime and probably won't be denied for her last bow. But Maisel's Rachel Brosnahan, who won in 2018, and Fleabag's hot auteur Phoebe Waller-Bridge provide very stiff and hilarious competition. Limited series / TV movie. In the relatively thin TV movie category, Deadwood, the movie, should halt Black Mirror's recent role. The Real Race is among a set of extraordinary limited series, mostly docudramas, and I'm picking When They See Us, directed by Ava DuVernay's searing and relevant account of the exonerated Central Park Five. Limited series / movie actor. Another tough call with several Oscar winners vying. True Detective's Mahershala Ali effectively plays a complex character, but I believe heartbreaking underdog Jarell Jerome from When They See Us will deliver an upset. Limited series / movie actress. I'm wavering between Michelle Williams' bravura channeling of dancer Gwen Verdon in Fosse / Verdon, and Patricia Arquette's bold transformation in Escape at Dannemora. But let's put our jazz hands together to root for the Broadway baby. By Matt Rausch. 9-1-1, September 23rd at 8, 7 Central on Fox. Hear that sound? It's the wail of sirens, which means our heroic emergency responders are on the way to save the day. The drama's third outing keeps up the frenetic pace of seasons past. We have our whole complement of crazy, exciting, heart-in-your-throat rescues, says exec producer Tim Minear. He jokes that September is the unluckiest month for residents of 911's Los Angeles, where a massive earthquake hit in last year's premiere and a tsunami crashes in the final moments of the opener this year. Here are the three crises that get things rolling. 1. Runaway driver. We open with a classic L.A. moment, a high-speed chase on the freeway, Minear reveals. Switcheroo. It's the guy behind the wheel who calls for help because his accelerator is stuck. While the scared teen stays on the line with 911 operator Maddie Kendall, played by Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sergeant Athena Grant, played by Angela Bassett, of the LAPD, follows in pursuit. She also enlists LAFD's Station 118, where her new husband, Captain Bobby Nash, played by Peter Krause, works, to help stop the vehicle before anyone dies. 2. Baby on board. Later, during a routine traffic stop, Athena encounters a woman driving with a newborn who is starting to turn blue. Trouble is, Athena quickly realizes the woman did not recently give birth. It turns into a very bizarre, almost kidnapping case, teases Minear. 3. Natural disaster. Firefighter Buck, played by Oliver Stark, badly injured last season in a bombing incident, isn't back on the job yet. So he has taken colleague Eddie's, played by Chris Guzman, young son Christopher, played by Gavin McHugh, for a day at the Santa Monica Pier. The Ferris wheel fun is interrupted by a giant tsunami, which slams into the shore, flooding the coastline. Buck is hanging on, for now. He is stranded, says Minear, who reveals a new hero rises in the form of a firefighter named Lena. She's played by recurring star Ronda Rousey, the wrestler and MMA athlete. Over the next two episodes, floodwaters move a mile inland, turning the show into a mini-disaster movie. Shooting took place at Mexico's Baja Studios, where 1997's Titanic was filmed. We built L.A. streets in giant tanks, flooded them with ocean water, and put our actors in there, Minear says. As for their characters, he adds, some will live, some will not. By Kate Hahn. The Neighborhood, September 23rd at 8, 7 Central on CBS. Nice Guy Dave, played by Max Greenfield, is finally starting to feel like his extreme friendliness has won over next-door neighbor Calvin, played by Cedric the Entertainer, who initially wasn't too happy to have a white family move into his predominantly African-American neighborhood. Season 2 of this timely comedy opens exactly 1 year after Dave and wife Gemma, played by Beth Bears, moved in, on the day of Calvin and wife Tina's, played by Tichina Arnold, annual yard askew. Season 2 of this timely comedy opens exactly 1 year after Dave and wife Gemma, played by Beth Bears, moved in, on the day of Calvin and wife Tina's, played by Tichina Arnold, annual yard askew. We chatted with Cedric and Max about how far their characters have come. The interviewer asks, how would you describe Calvin and Dave's friendship now? Max says, Dave thinks he's made a lot of progress, but he's given a reality check. Cedric says, each family has come to know the other a little better. There's a bit of a synergy that's happening in the community, yet there are still those unwritten lines or barriers. It's like marrying into a family. Sure, you're welcome at Thanksgiving, but you're not necessarily welcome to bring your potato salad yet. The interviewer asks, what's your real-life dynamic on set? Max says, we're doing this interview in two separate rooms. We can't be in the same room together. Cedric laughs. The interviewer asks, which one of you is best at making the other crack up? Max says, we do the show in front of an audience, so there are always things that catch you off guard, and Cedric will stay in character and react to them. Those are always the things that make me collapse. Cedric says, we take great pride in making each other break. By John Russell. The Good Doctor, September 23rd at 10, 9 Central on ABC. Sean Murphy, played by Freddie Highmore, has been reinstated at San Jose St. Bonaventure, and Aaron Glassman, played by Richard Schiff, is cancer-free. Are things finally good for these good docs? Executive producer David Shore previews season 3. The interviewer asks, is there a future for Sean and pathologist Carly, played by Jessica Nicole? Shore says, Sean, a savant on the autism spectrum, has his first grown-up relationship with Carly. Shore confirms, there will be communication challenges, but also great moments. We hear Sean's first sexual experience could be one of them. The interviewer asks, will the breakdown Sean had last season still spook the administration? Shore says, Audrey Lim, played by Christina Chang, is the new surgical chief, and she's a fan of Sean's. Shore notes, but don't expect everyone to agree with her. Lim's other struggle, can she make her romance with Dr. Neil Melendez, played by Nicholas Gonzalez, work now that she's his boss? The interviewer says, Aaron proposed to hospital barista Debbie, played by Sheila Kelly, Schiff's real-life wife. Will they wed? Shore says, he got engaged to someone he barely knows, reminds Shore. We'll see if it's in his character to go through with it. By Ileana Rudolph. The Voice, September 23rd at 8, 7 Central on NBC. Gwen Stefani, Blake Shelton, John Legend, and Kelly Clarkson are back in their revolving chairs to coach a new crop of wannabe vocal superstars. Having all returning coaches creates a very warm, easygoing, yet competitive environment, says executive producer Audrey Morrissey. But the show's 17th season won't be without surprises. For the first time, coaches will get to save a contestant in the battle rounds. Plus, former coach Usher joins guests Darius Rucker, Normani, and Will.i.am as an advisor. All American, October 7th at 8, 7 Central on the CW. On this high school football soap, no troubled teens will be benched from getting drama thrown their way in season 2. We're putting them all through it, exec producer Nkechi Okoro-Carroll says with a laugh. For starters, wide receiver Spencer James, played by Daniel Ezra, a transfer student who has nearly settled in at Beverly Hills High, clashes on and off the field with a new player from his old school, Gronish's Da Vinci. Maybe the 17th birthday bash for Baker twins Jordan, played by Michael Evans Beeling, and Olivia, played by Samantha Logan, will be more tame? Don't bet on it. You know those birthday parties, teases Carol. Something always goes down. Black Lightning, October 7th at 9, 8 Central on the CW. War is brewing in Season 3 of the DC Comics tale as outsiders invade the city of Freeland. March's finale tested the impending arrival of agents from Markovia, a fictional rogue European country known for metahuman research. Now Jeffrey Pierce slash Black Lightning, played by Cress Williams, and his superpowered daughter, Nefessa Williams and China Ann McClain, have their hands full taking down the baddies who are looking to weaponize anyone with enhanced abilities, which in this town is nearly everyone. Nothing is off limits. Mandy Moore talks This Is Us Season 4 and getting her first Emmy nomination, by Jim Halterman. That's September 24th, 9, 8 Central on NBC. Mandy Moore was 14 when her life took a major turn. The aspiring singer was making a demo when a FedEx employee delivering to the recording studio overheard her. He took the demo to a contact at Epic Records, and she landed her first music deal. It changed my life, and here we are, the star of This Is Us says with a smile in her eyes. Acting came next, and, flash forward to the present, she's used to time jumping given her day job, she's nabbed her first Emmy nomination for playing compassionate matriarch Rebecca Pearson on the hit NBC drama. The tearjerker's third round left viewers with some major questions. Why was a weary 80-something Rebecca resting in bed while her son Randall, played by Sterling K. Brown, introduced himself to her? Alzheimer's disease? Something else? Our season opener will leave people with even more questions, more promises. Life Changes drive Season 4. Our family is embarking on new chapters, executive producer Dan Fogelman confirms. Pearson daughter Kate, played by Chrissy Metz, and husband Toby, played by Chris Sullivan, come home with a new baby. Randall and wife Beth, played by Susan Kelechi Watson, move with their three girls to Philadelphia after switching careers. And newly single Kevin, played by Justin Hartley, the third of the Pearson siblings, faces a big existential question, which is, am I a good person, and can I be a better person? Fogelman notes. Jennifer Morrison, Omar Epps, and M. Night Shyamalan also join the cast in yet-to-be-revealed roles. But now it's mom's time, as Moore talks about her trick to playing older Rebecca and why singer and actress Bette Midler is her inspiration. The interviewer asks, did you always plan to pursue music and acting? Moore says, music has always been the thing I've been most passionate about, but I knew that if I ever got my foot in the door, I definitely wanted to try my hand at acting. I was a nerdy theater kid. My biggest dream of dreams was to be on Broadway. I wanted to be Bette Midler. I recognized how unique she was. The interviewer asks, can we please see Rebecca sing again on this season? Moore says, there perhaps will be a bit of music entering the equation again. I hope she finds it post-Jack's passing. Milo Ventimiglia plays Rebecca's first husband. It's so deeply ingrained in her fiber that I can't imagine it doesn't factor into her life down the road. The interviewer asks, Where do things pick up for Rebecca and Jack in the timeline that explores their early relationship? Moore says, we find them back in Pittsburgh right after their California road trip from last season. They're figuring out, now what do we do? Are we going to be together? He has to meet her family, right? It's the 70s, so it's young and carefree. The interviewer says, in the present day, Rebecca and Kate tend to clash. How are they doing? Moore says, things are fraught. Kate is a mother now, and Rebecca and Miguel, her second husband, played by John Huertas, have moved to California and are in close proximity. I'm sure that is going to inflame some tensions at certain points, but I think Rebecca is also well-versed in how to cautiously tiptoe around that situation. The interviewer asks, you made the choice to give older Rebecca arthritis, so you squeeze your wrist and hand when playing that age. How does that detail help you? Moore says, it's just something I do every now and then that I associate with her in that age. I do that before the cameras roll, and I'm immediately transported back. The interviewer asks, which one of Rebecca's ages is the scariest to play? Moore says, the time immediately after Jack's death. It's not the most difficult, but it wears on you emotionally the most. But it's also so fundamentally formative as to who this woman is. I'm excited to keep exploring that time period because it's also the kids' entree into who they are as adults. The interviewer asks, if you could craft a story for Rebecca, what would you want to see happen? Moore says, I don't think any ideas from my brain could exceed what the writers are doing. The great thing about our show is nothing is off limits. The interviewer says, by the way, congrats on your first Emmy nomination. Moore says, thank you. I had my fingers crossed that the show would get recognized, but I was shocked to find out about my nomination. It's just insane to be part of a show where we are even in the conversation. And that's all for today. I'm Rachel Renner.